welcome your ears to episode number 254 of the Triple Option with RBKD. On the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, Mel Kiper Jr. thinks Trader Jerry will be making an appearance on draft night. Plus, the Texas basketball roster is slowly beginning to take shape. Charles Barkley turned down what? And we are 4 days away from officially becoming a pro sports town. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing good. I appreciate the intro as always. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right.
You got a lot of red on today.
Got a lot of red on me today.
Yeah.
Also, right. Think my headphones just broke. That's why I have these big over-ear guys on me today.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Normally rock the Bose earbuds.
What'd you do to them?
I don't know. One of them has been broken forever. So I've been rocking one ear for like the entire duration of this show.
Let's hope it's not a bad omen for the rest of the show.
Yeah, really.
And I think the other one just crapped out.
Those are expensive.
Don't jinx us.
About $100.
Okay.
But I had them for 5 years. So
oh, yeah. You got your money's worth.
I would say I got my money's worth.
Yeah.
But it sucks that I don't have to buy new ones. Also joined by Lifetime Longhorn and Lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. Katie, what's going on?
The dulcet tones of Rod and Kevin. You got to make sure you pay $20 a year for your job to hear that. That's a pretty good thing. You got 5 years out of it?
Yeah.
Damn good.
You guys sound weird. I sound weird.
Oh, in those headphones?
Really?
Every pair of headphones sounds different.
It does.
So it's going to take some getting used to today.
So, like the show usually does, someone on this show, even part of our family, our podcast family, we end up inspiring other people on the station, and we did that on EGAT. So we'll get to that at One and Done, but we're going to continue the casting theme that's been taken off here. And by the way, some rude ones for my man BK. Can we go with males? They're hot lesbians, but...
I got no
problem. Ellen DeGeneres suggestion?
Hey, she's probably more of a man than I am.
Well, maybe.
And I've got no problem being played by women.
I've
been played by a woman before.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good point.
Well done.
No.
I've got no problem playing the women either.
Good.
I do a better job at that. I'm better in that role than I am in the opposite role.
I like it.
Yes, we've all been played by a woman before.
Everybody has.
Yeah.
Even Ron Jeremy. No question.
Yeah.
I'll be here as well.
Even Ron Jeremy.
I am BK, Brad Gellner. Together, we are the Triple
transition.
Option. With RBKD rocking and rolling until 6:15 here on the Horn. At that time, we will send you off to Texas baseball. The Longhorns back at it tonight, taking on the Nevada Wolfpack. First of a quick two-game midweek series. First pitch at 6:30. Of course, we'll have that game for you right here on the Horn. But we appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Tuesday afternoon with us, KD.
I hope Ivan Melendez, I hope his underwear smells bad.
Why's that?
Well, he shouldn't have changed it the last week.
Ah.
I mean, he should be sleeping up there, same underwear, gone the longest. He's gone without brushing his teeth. I mean, we're talking, you don't change a thing.
If you're in Nevada, I wouldn't pitch to him.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I wouldn't even pitch to him.
I wouldn't either.
Does he get the 2001 Barry Bonds
treatment? He's not going to get that total treatment, but for the most part, I was like, nah, you can just take,
like
your, take your base, young man. We're moving on.
K-State on Sunday after the two home runs that day, four for the series. Said, nah, man.
You good?
You're taking first base.
That's what I said. At least you want to disrupt this kind of momentum that he's on, this streak he's on. I wouldn't even pitch to him. Because it ain't just home runs. We're paying attention to the home run streak, of course, because it's fantastic.
But
right?
He's hitting.
He's hitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's hitting everything.
It's unreal.
So I wouldn't pitch to him.
It's unreal. And Nevada's not that great of a team, so there's an opportunity for Ivan Melendez to continue this hot streak. Hell, the next five games for Texas, all very winnable this week. We'll see if Ivan Melendez can make history. Home runs in six straight games, too shy of the NCAA baseball record.
He's not making history against me. No way. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to be bored against me, young man. You ain't making history
gonna
against me.
You're going to put him all for free?
So if he does play, it's said he pitched to him tonight and he homers, then definitely tomorrow I'm not going to let him make history against me if I'm the bat. Nope. You just might as well. You might as well just sit down or just take your base because we're not pitching to you.
I came to Nevada to pitch, and never be any part of history.
You don't want to be that guy.
Good or bad.
You don't want to be that guy.
I want to be forgotten.
Or that team.
You don't want to be that guy?
Well,
no. I always think about Mike Bacsik, who actually does sports radio in Dallas, but he was the pitcher who gave up Barry Bonds' 756th home run, the one that broke the tie with Hank Aaron. So that's like Mike Bacsik, played in the league for a long time, but kind of a journeyman reliever, not a special talent by any stretch, but that's like his claim to fame. And people kind of know that name because he's that guy. Otherwise, nobody would have any clue who Mike Bacsik is. So would you rather not be known at all or be known for something kind of like that?
Good question.
Like it's somebody else's record, somebody else is pulling off the accomplishment, but you're a part of it so people remember you because of it.
Rod, you played pro ball. You jump in here.
I'm going to say I don't want to be a part of history in that way.
I'm
too much
him.
Of a competitor. I got some pride. I don't want to be a part of history in that way.
I came to Nevada to not be recognized ever.
Well, I want to be recognized before something positive. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the,
right.
You know, I agree. There are a lot of people infamously known from that standpoint. I don't want to be that guy. I'm not pitching Ivan Melendez.
What about you, BK? I get the feeling that you just want to be known.
Yeah, any pub is good pub. You kidding me?
Yeah, for certain aspects
of
life.
Is that Brad Kellner at the end of the bar?
Sports is different. Sports is a different world. Usually I subscribe to that. You can turn fame and you can turn, you know, shame into fame and fame into fortune. But in sports, a little bit differently. You're dealing with competitors who have competitive sickness. Like, it's about trying to be the best.
Hey, send a beer down for BK. I've never seen anyone give up that many grand slams in a week. And he just kept on feeding it.
Yeah, I gave up my sports competitiveness very early.
Exactly. This ain't Kim Kardashian sex tape stuff. Like,
that's
hey, I'm just knowing
it's
them
a little
great.
Different.
Well, I'd be down for that, too.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. But in sports, you're dealing with people who actually are competitors and they want to be the best.
Yup.
Yeah, my personality is not that way. But if I was a good athlete, my personality would definitely be that way.
My personality is that way, and I wasn't a great athlete. So there you
there
go.
There you go.
I still, like, I can't imagine what it's like playing a pro sport like Rod can, but I'd still go, no, man, if I got that far, no way.
Well, if you're a perfectionist in anything you do,
yeah,
you want to be known for something infamous.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take your thoughts, 337-3776. We will continue the casting conversation that started on Everyone Gets a Trophy with Kevin and Paul and continued on Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey, so we'll get to that a little bit later
I'm going to lay down a rule for the casting thing right now about me, okay? You can't use Kevin Hart. Because it's too easy.
Yeah.
It's too easy. All right? You just think the black guy that I sound exactly like.
Right.
Too easy. All right? You got to pick another black guy.
Got to go outside
Kevin
the
Hart.
Box a little
gotta
bit.
Got to go outside the box. Just a smidgen.
Rod, you know what that is? That's white people saying y'all all sound the same to us.
No, I do kind of sound like Kevin Hart. I
you
admit
do,
that.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So
I like Most
Deaf
for Snoop.
Most Deaf for Snoop is good. It's
this
nice. I like that.
One. I like that.
Hannibal Buress for Isaiah.
Okay.
We're going to have fun with this. So y'all keep it coming, 337-3776, Specs Text Line.
No doubt about it. All right, guys, we've had a lot of questions about next year's Texas basketball roster, and over the last 24 hours, some of them are being answered. How about this? Last night, it started with Jace Febres, who took to Instagram to announce that he was returning to Texas.
Insta.
Earlier today, Andrew Jones announced that he is going to be returning to Texas for another year. And also, Chris Beard picked up a transfer earlier today. Devin Askew. Transferring from Kentucky to the University of Texas.
Ask you.
Well, I'm asking you.
Ask you.
Dad jokes.
Ask me.
Dad jokes.
He's rubbing off on me.
Yeah. Mine
that's
are better.
Usually something he
having him procreated, usually that's when all that starts to happen upstairs.
Unreal. So some great news for Texas basketball, guys. Once again, still some questions, still a lot of holes left to be filled on this roster, but a lot more clarity today than we had yesterday, KD. And we'll start with the guys coming back to Texas before we get to Devin, ask you, ask me, ask whoever. Andrew Jones, Jace Febres, a couple of guys who have been on campus forever. Andrew Jones is 23 years young. He's going to turn 24 during next season. Jace Febres is a guy who's been here since 2017. Both of those guys using their COVID eligibility year to return for another season. Your thoughts on both of them coming back to the 40?
I was trying to think the last time I was this excited about an upcoming Texas basketball season during this time.
Yeah.
So usually I'm locked in spring football, baseball. I mean, hell, even in 2003, I was the second we lost to Oregon, I was excited about next year. And I'm not as excited right now at this time, but it's been a long time. And a lot of that's Chris Beard, obviously. And one of the things I like is that I'm curious to see if, especially if Sims, Brown, some of these other guys come back, but to go with Febres and also especially Andrew Jones, there were so many times we talked about how this team would lose their mind offensively and all of a sudden, you know, so all of a sudden start jacking up threes. And I always said, You know, that's when the coach has to put his foot down. It felt like, you know, Shaka was getting run over as a coach, and Beard won't let that happen. So I'm curious to see their skill set and their experience now with a coach that hopefully is going to really instruct them how to play offensively and add some toughness defensively.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, because we still don't know yet about Courtney Ramey, Greg Brown,
Jericho.
There's a sense, or at least some of the reports are leading most fans to believe that Jericho Sims and Matt Coleman will decide to leave. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we still don't really know what their decision is. We know Kai Jones is gone. Micah Peavy, I believe, is it TCU that I'm hearing? I think Chip Brown threw that out there, that TCU might be the landing spot for him.
There's a chance
that that's the word on the street.
Still
too.
Trying to figure out what's going to happen with his dad.
Yes.
Who is the head coach at Duncanville High School.
Good point.
So if Daddy Peavy gets a job somewhere else.
I mean, he probably wants to be called Papa Peavy.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, because it's alliteration.
Well, alliteration.
Yeah.
Daddy Peavy.
It rhymes. Peavy. Daddy
Peavy
rhymes.
Sounds a little creepy.
What's
Papa
creepy about
Peavy
that?
Papa Peavy sounds
Papa.
Cool.
You don't call other men daddy? Something wrong with that?
No, I don't.
What's the issue there?
I don't call my dad daddy.
I don't call my dad daddy either. I'm
interesting.
Yeah, daddy.
That's kind of a southern thing, though, because my mom would do that.
Well, daddy's coming over.
I think, maybe for men, you don't call your dad daddy?
Maybe that happens when you hit puberty. I haven't hit that yet, so yeah. Maybe that'll change.
Hence all the elements.
You call your dad daddy?
Is that weird?
I don't know.
Interesting. Papa Peavy, Daddy Peavy, David Peavy is his God-given name.
Poppy Peavy. Okay, nice.
So if Poppy Peavy takes a college job somewhere, then I think there's a very good chance that Micah Peavy would follow suit.
Okay.
If Papa Peavy remains at Duncanville, then I still think there's a good shot that Micah Peavy comes to Texas. But nothing set in stone just yet. It's all hearsay right now.
So there's a good chance he'll end up at Oklahoma State then. I just saw how Cunningham's brother... That worked out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. That was genius.
There for a year. Now he's going to go gone. Represent him.
He's gone now.
Yeah.
Gone, baby, gone.
Great move by Mike Boynton.
In the shower after reading that story.
Well, Mike Boynton a 7-year contract extension.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Hired Cade Cunningham's brother the year before he was a senior in high school. He gets Cade there for a year, get all the way to the Big 12 championship game, and Mike Boynton gets himself a contract extension.
So who loses?
Smart moves. Nobody loses. Exactly. Maybe Oklahoma State basketball fans lose if Mike Boynton isn't that good.
Yeah. Like a win-win. Yeah, that's a good point. Long term.
On the surface, other programs say we lost because that looks a little shady.
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's college basketball. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Amen.
Yeah, spoken like a true Kansas
Amen.
Fan.
Amen. No evidence. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, wiretaps.
No evidence. Okay. It's fake.
Yeah. FBI, federal
just
wiretaps.
FBI stuff. But.
FBI stands for Fake Bureau of Investigation. Okay. So, yeah, you know, you guys need to learn a thing or two. Andrew Jones, though, coming back, he led the Longhorns in scoring last year, guys, 14.6 points per game. And KD, you talked about the excitement. Rod B., what about you? I mean, once again, I mean, as of this moment, there's only like 5 or 6 guys that we know who are going to be a part of this team next year. It's Andrew Jones, it's Jace Fabris, it's Brock Cunningham, it's Jalen Tyson, who is one of the class of 2021 signees for the Longhorns. And I guess that's it. I mean, Kian Etijeré is still committed to the University of Texas, but he has the chance to flip his commitment and sign somewhere else before tomorrow. National Signing Day 2 for basketball is tomorrow, so maybe there's a chance that he decides to flip his commitment as well because he was a guy that committed to Texas when Shaka Smart was still the coach. So right now, only 4 guys set in stone, but some key pieces from last year's squad coming back, Rod.
Yeah, you got some. I mean, Andrew Jones one is big. I mean, that's some key leadership. We've all talked about Brock Cunningham and his presence. And Chris Beard, even as a coach at Tech, remarked about how much he loved Brock Cunningham. And
he was a Beard guy when Beard was at Tech.
Yeah,
I remember watching and thinking, Ham and Cunningham would work on your
team. Yeah, I mean, he talked about it in one of the post games how much he loved Brock Cunningham and wish there was another Brock Cunningham out there or a twin to Brock Cunningham. So you do got a person that kind of fits the DNA of, you know, of Chris Beard. I think Andrew Jones is going to align with him. I think that some of the qualities that Andrew Jones possesses and has exhibited really do kind of align with what Chris Beard values too. You know, and I think the transfer portal is going to play a huge part here. I mean, it's already played a huge part, but, you know, I think most of this is crazy. Half to more than half of this team is going to be made up of transfers.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it. It's just the way it's going to work out, and I think that's kind of the symbolic of the new age of basketball.
I agree. There were
college basketball.
Were reports, too, but this is pre-leukemia, BK, you would know better than I would, but talking to people that really dialed in, that maybe the relationship between Shaka and Andrew Jones at that point was not as copacetic as you would think. Mm. And so it may be on the surface you think, well, because that thing, I think, I'm sure a lot of that changed after, mm-hmm. but where it's still not a perfect fit, and this is actually a pretty good fit for him. BK, I want to ask you before we get to Devin. Skew.
Do you want to ask me about Devin? Or
I'm
going to
ask you. I'm
going to
ask you about Devin.
Okay.
But of everyone who's still on the table, and I'll ask you too, Rod, who's the one guy you'd take back or want back? So you want all of them back, but if you can only get one, Courtney Ramey, Jericho Sims, Greg Brown, mm-hmm. those guys, who do you take?
I'm going Jericho Sims.
I would too.
Mm-hmm. I want that size. I want that combination of size, strength, and athleticism. Yep. And he really came on strong at the end of last year, and he got better every year during his Texas career. And I would just love him in Chris Beard's system. I think Chris Beard would use him more adequately than Shaka Smart did. So I'd probably go with Jericho Sims. I mean, Matt Coleman would be a close second, but you tell me that Andrew Jones is coming back. You tell me that Devin Askew's coming in. You tell me that Jalen Tyson's coming in. I would guess Texas is going to go after another point guard or two in the portal. I feel okay about the backcourt position without Matt Coleman being there, but there are plenty of Matt Colemans in college basketball. There aren't a lot of Jericho Sims in college basketball.
Well said.
He's the guy I would want.
Rod? What
about Kai Jones?
Okay, I
thought Kai Jones was out of the
I'm
equation.
I'm sorry, I should have put that in there. Kai Jones is a lottery pick, so I'm even saying that Greg Brown will come back, but Kai Jones won't.
Okay, all right.
So he's off the list.
He's off the list, okay, because that's what I thought.
Yeah. We know for sure he's gone. He's already declared, and he's already hired an agent, or at least said he's going to hire an agent.
Okay, you're saying possibly of guys that could come back. Matt Coleman, I'd go Matt Coleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you bring back a senior leader, and he'd be another one of those guys. I would love to see what he looks like with Chris Beard. Even though we've seen a lot of them, we think we know who they are, that all of a sudden you get different coaching in there, and it'd be different.
And don't get it twisted. Andrew Jones is only coming back because Chris Beard is here. Andrew Jones would not have returned for another year if Shaka Smart was still the coach.
So that hadn't smoothed over too much?
Part of it has to do with the relationship, but I think Andrew Jones, look, he's 23. He's going to be 24 next season. He's old. Guys entering professional basketball
ancient
standards. Yeah. And I would think Andrew Jones feels like his draft stock has peaked under Shaka Smart.
He would have been really old, by the way, entering in 85.
Yeah. Yeah, 24.
So that's
is
not even an
pretty
era.
Ridiculous. Yeah, he'll be 25 during his rookie season playing professional basketball. That's almost unheard of in any age of college basketball. But just having Chris Beard, a guy who's a proven coach, a guy who's developed a lot of really less on-paper talented players than Andrew Jones and turned them into first-round draft picks, I just think that ability and that potential of Andrew Jones getting to work with a coach like Chris Beard is very, very enticing and is a huge, huge part of the reason that he returned. I think Jace Fabris would have come back either way, regardless of if Shaka was here, regardless of who the head coach was, because you know he battled injury last year, only played in 13 games, and a guy who has a future playing professional basketball, I think, but because the sample size we saw from him last year was so small, he needs an extra year to come back to try to improve his stock a little bit and show people on film what he's capable of. But man, I don't think Andrew Jones would have come back if Shaka Smart was still the coach. So that's another benefit. I mean, we're going to see so many benefits over the years of Chris Beard, but I think that's an immediate benefit right there is Andrew Jones deciding to come back for another season.
All right, I'm going to ask you now. What about ask you?
About Devin
Askew?
What
does he bring to the table? I know he was a five-star, but didn't have a great year, right?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who reclassified. So originally he was supposed to be a part of this recruiting class, of the class of 2021, but he had such a good junior season in high school that he reclassified. And he was getting offers, and schools were willing to allow him to join their team. Colleges were willing to allow them to join their team last year in what should have been his senior year of high school. So really, really highly touted kid, five-star, top 30 player in the country on just about every website. Had some struggles at Kentucky. I mean, the entire team had struggles at Kentucky last year. They were all terrible. They brought in a really, really great recruiting class like they always do under John Calipari, but it just didn't quite pan out. Devin Askew, I think, averaged 6.5 points per game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. At times, he looked lost. At times, it looked like the game was a little bit too fast for him. He would dribble into traffic too often. He'd make some really, really questionable late-game decisions. I mean, tough situation for a true freshman point guard who should be in high school going up against high-major conference teams, but there were some very questionable decisions down the stretch. He cost Kentucky a couple of games last year, but it's very rare that you can get a kid with 4 years of eligibility who already has high major college experience, and that's what Devin Askew has. So he already has experience playing at a big-time program in Kentucky. He still has 4 years of eligibility. He's only 18 years old, and the potential, I think, is still through the roof with this young man. So good it is day. A great get. I mean, this guy had offers from everywhere coming out of high school. Another thing, without Chris Beard, Shaka Smart and Texas are not in the mix for this kid. Mm. He's getting offers from everywhere in the country. Devin Askew actually alluded to Chris Beard. He said, quote, "I chose Texas because Coach Beard and his coaching staff are completely invested into their players and player development. They have also watched film on my game and see what my playing style and abilities will thrive in their program," end quote. Cool. So we heard it with Jalen Tyson when he flipped from Texas Tech to Texas. Mm-hmm. Now we're hearing it from Devin Askew as well. Like, these guys are bringing up Chris Beard as the big reason why they are coming to Texas, and it's great news.
And it's happening like with the coaching staff as well. We talked about that, you know, that gravity that Chris Beard seems to have. A lot of coaches want to be on that coaching staff with him, even to the point where they left head coaching positions. And now you're talking about players as well want to be around the program that Chris Beard is associated with, just because of his emphasis on player development, his emphasis on the player-first program.
Yeah.
Player-first program.
He talked about that a million times during
players,
his introductory
players,
press
players,
conference.
Is what he says.
Right? Players, players, players. Rod B., I'm not sure if Chris Beard has a house just yet. If he needs one, where should he go?
I'm sure he has a house, but if he doesn't, or maybe he's going to sell a house. Either way, he needs to contact my friends at opendoor.com. We know Austin is the hottest real estate market right now in the country. According to the Austin Board of Realtors, home sales jumped 24% in January alone, and the median sales price of a home in Austin rose to $455,000. And in my neighborhood, they're going for a whole lot more than that. So Austinites have not only been on the move themselves, but people also moving to Austin. After a year quarantine, some people decided they wanted to upgrade their living situation. I had at least four neighbors move within the last year, and when they found themselves balancing the difficulty of buying a new home, selling their old one, I told them the same thing I'm telling you. Think about selling it to opendoor.com. Go to opendoor.com/myoffer to get a competitive cash offer on your home, and you can close on your own timeline. No prep work or showings are required. Just answer a few questions and complete a contact-free video walkthrough, and you can do it all online in just a few easy steps. Request a competitive cash offer on your home today at opendoor.com/myoffer. Whether you're looking to sell now or later, you can instantly see what your home is worth right now at opendoor.com/myoffer. Offer eligibility varies. Open Door is represented by Open Door Brokerage Incorporated, license 0206-1130 in California, and Open Door Brokerage LLC in its other markets. That's opendoor.com/myoffer.
So a great day for Chris Beard and Texas Longhorn basketball. Andrew Jones announcing that he's coming back. Jace Febres announcing that he's coming back. And Devin Askew transferring in from Kentucky, a former five-star. You will have 4 years of eligibility here at UT. We will take your thoughts. The Specs text line 337-3776 if you want to chime in. More basketball talk coming later in the program. But coming up next, we're talking Texas football. ESPN has released its FPI, its Football Power Index, for the 2021 season. Where do the Longhorns fall in the FPI rankings? And how about the rest of the Big 12 and Texas A&M? We'll tell you next.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is the Bat Tuesday. We play jams from our sister station at Bat, and we hear a lot of KD karaoke because he's an 80s baby and used some 80s jams in there. BK is twisting and tweaking the dials. You can always hit him up via Twitter at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, and my man Kevin Dunn is at Kevin Dunn 01.
All she wants to do is dance.
Mm-hmm. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo.
I don't know. Who's the artist?
Well, you know me.
She,
I don't know.
All she wants to, I can hear it. All she wants to do is. This is on the soundtrack, too. This is a good soundtrack song.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like, is this 80s, I'm sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't think of the soundtrack it's on. It's on a soundtrack, though.
Don Henley.
Don Henley.
Don Henley!
Mm-hmm.
Damn it,
someone threw
that.
Don Henley out as a casting for one of the horn. I forgot who it was. I think it was Aaron.
For Aaron?
Yeah.
Don
that's
Henley?
Kind of a shot.
I got to look at Don Henley then.
At Don Henley?
Does he look like Aaron? I don't know. Does he look
like
Aaron?
It depends what age you're looking for.
Mm.
I don't know.
Oh, we're talking appearance or are we talking?
Well, that's part of the casting.
Okay. Yeah, Don Henley's in his 70s. I think Aaron Hogan is in his 40s, so not the nicest thing the texter has ever said.
I thought Aaron, and this is going to get a compliment to Aaron, so I probably shouldn't say it. I think Liev Schreiber would be a good Aaron Homer.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
He is Ray Donovan.
Mm.
You know Ray Donovan?
I do know Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
It's a good
I think
show.
That kind of looks like E. Hogan to me a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't see
really
E. Hogan in
yeah.
Leave Shriver?
Yeah.
Also, he's the voice to...
I think Leave maybe a little...
Is he the
upset
voice
by that,
to...
But
is
I see it?
Oh, man. Is it Hard Knocks? Maybe HBO's Hard Knocks he does the voice for, if I'm not mistaken.
You might be right.
Yeah, I believe it's Lee Shriver.
Now that I put those together, I'm thinking of Ray Donovan's voice, and I'm thinking of the voice on HBO's Hard Knocks.
I believe that's the case. I could be off about that.
Okay.
I believe that's a random factoid about him. But Lee Shriver would be my random E. Hogan. E. Hogan's going to love that because Lee Shriver's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's going to jump on that.
All right, let's let's get to some breaking news first before we hit the FBI. Breaking news here. Shout out to my man CB who sent it to me via Twitter. And shout out to Joe Cook because it's Joe Cook who is reporting it at Joseph Cook 89. To shout out to Joe Cook.
Good podcast. I don't like his partner, but it's a good podcast.
You don't like his life partner?
No.
Who is that? Why are you putting his business out
he
there?
Have a life. Does he have a life partner? I don't know Joe that well.
I don't know. I didn't know him either. Apparently he does have a partner.
You do a podcast with him. Does he marry?
Talking
married.
About you, jabroni.
He's not married, is he?
No.
No, okay. I don't think so.
Now
we really got his business out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Joe.
Honestly, last time
Joe was great at his job.
Last time Joe and I talked, he said he was having problems meeting someone. No, I'm kidding.
We're just trying to show the man is good at his job. Come on. I've been insulting the man. All right. He's reporting that Texas men's basketball has hired John Riley to be the program's head strength and conditioning coach.
Yo, the guy from Step Brothers?
No, but is it? Oh, that is John. Is it John C. Riley?
John C. Riley?
Yeah, you're right. That's not him. Okay. Not him. But I like that guy.
That would have been a story, right?
You're gonna be really excited.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He's gonna work with McConaughey.
This John Riley was previously with Beard at Texas Tech. Did spend 1 year with Texas football in 2011 and 12 under Benny Wiley and Mad Dog Madden when they had that combo thing going on.
Here come the text.
Two strength and conditioning coaches. Yeah, so that was weird. But there you go.
Cool.
It's good stuff.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know much about John Riley. But if Chris Beard trusts him, then I'm going to trust him. And Chris Beard has worked with John Riley before. So yeah. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there.
I will give Andrea Hootie credit because their bodies changed the last couple of years. She did a good job. And obviously coming from Kansas, she knew what she was doing.
She's well established.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder where she goes from here. We haven't heard anything
about
her future.
That's a great question. That's a good question.
I guess that means she's not going to be retained. I can't imagine she takes an assistant strength and conditioning job because she's very qualified.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if she'll go to the professional level.
I wonder if she goes back to Kansas.
Mm.
Oh,
interesting. Maybe she does. I mean, if you work in Kansas and Texas, you probably are going to have your pick of the litter in terms of places you could go. So, she did a great job here, but that's probably what this means. She's
great.
You know what's funny? Actually, because they draw so much, if I was a strength and conditioning coach and a really good one, I'm not sure I'd want to go to Kentucky. Because I only get a couple months with these kids. Mm. And at 18, right, I'd want to be at a place where there's going to be some real development. I can work on bodies.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
It'd be the only
sense.
Time that Kentucky basketball is not a huge draw for something.
Yeah, but you also don't get criticized as much because no one expects big changes to these guys' bodies over the span of 3 months.
Okay.
So you can be one of the highest paid strength and conditioning coaches, but also be judged the least harshly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for in this life.
I know. I was about to say.
I like
work
that.
The least, make the most.
I was about to get on you, and I go, nah, that just makes sense.
Yeah, that's who I am. As a
person. Grief to dollars
probably
ratio,
not the best
man.
Parenting tip.
No.
I like that.
But I think our show is 4 hours too long. But I still want my paycheck to be the same. Is that possible? Can we make that happen?
That's the American way these days. All right, let's get to something else that's all.
I just want to do an OnlyFans.
The American way, and that is college football, gentlemen. So the ESPN comes out with their football power index. And our football power index is basically a cumulative predictive stat, right? Basically, they're predicting who are going to be the top teams in college football for the upcoming season. And I'll just kind of start with kind of where they have the Big 12 overall, because I think they actually, the football power index shows the Big 12 a lot of love. They have 7 Big 12 teams in the 2021 top 25 FPI, as they call it. 2 in the top 4 overall, gentlemen. Oklahoma at number 2 behind Alabama. And they do have records. They do the predictive model kind of spits out what they think, how many wins they'll have and how many losses they'll have. They have Alabama with 11.1 wins, 1.6 losses. Oklahoma with 11.2 wins, 1.7 losses. Don't ask me how it adds up. I don't. Yeah, I was told there'd be no math. So Oklahoma is second, Clemson third, then Iowa State, gentlemen. Got Iowa State fourth in the Football Power Index. They have them getting 10 wins. They have Oklahoma with a 61% chance to win the Big 12. The Iowa State Cyclones with a 28% chance to win the Big 12 with a 40% chance to make the college football playoff. But they got Oklahoma with a 73% chance to make the college football playoff and a 46% chance to make the national title game this upcoming season.
Wait a second. Iowa State has a better chance of making the playoff than they do winning the Big 12?
And once they the predictive model gets, I looked at, it says playoff 40.6%.
That makes sense.
You would
think
if they make the playoff, they're winning the Big 12.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So I saw that.
I'm just giving you, trust me.
I'm not shooting the messenger.
It's a cumulative predictive stat.
Gotcha.
Trust me, I'm with you on that, though. That does seem
a little weird.
But I'm going to shoot the messenger because I can't get to the subject.
One of the things I know that this cumulative stat that it prioritizes, I should say, is returning production.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you've talked about this, BK. Bill Connolly's returning production stat basically says Iowa State returned. They returned 88% of their overall production for their team in all three phases. That's fourth most returning production in the country. 94% of their offensive production returns. That's top five. That's fifth. 81% of their defensive production. That's 25th overall. And Brock Purdy had as BJ has talked about, and I agree, he had a bad year last year. If you were looking at it, I mean, I know the cumulative stat may not see that.
He definitely had a bad year last year.
So a lot of people believe that Iowa State...
They won despite his efforts.
Yeah. So a lot of people believe that Iowa State could have a huge year because they returned so much production.
I see that, but I also think...
And Matt Campbell's a hell of a coach.
He's a hell of a coach.
Didn't mention that.
But it's just the guys that are returning. So I just think they're going to be as good as they have been the last couple of years, which I don't think is playoff level. And it's not like they're getting this infusion of Alabama or Clemson recruiting class that all of a sudden you say, well, these guys are going to be back and be a little bit better, and there's all this stuff coming in. So maybe they will be, and maybe they've got guys that have been redshirting that I just don't know about, but I'd be surprised if Iowa State is a playoff team.
Are they the second-best team in the Big 12 right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Oklahoma's a distinct first, and I think Iowa State's a distinct second right now. But Iowa State's legit, man.
I mean,
they returned 20 of 22 starters. Rod B., you just ran through the production numbers. I don't know why I said production that weird. But they were 9-3 last year, made it to a New Year's Six Bowl, won that New Year's Six Bowl. They obviously made it to the Big 12 Conference Championship game, and just about everybody's coming back from a season ago. So, yeah, I think Iowa State's going to be really, really good this year. It's going to be a tough one for Texas on the road in Ames. I'm chalking that one up as a loss. Obviously, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. But to me... Yeah, I don't have Iowa State as a playoff team, but to have them ranked in the top 10 in any metric, or if we're talking about the AP top 25, I think that's fair. I think they should open up the season as a back end of the top 10 team in college football.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what Katie's talking about, though. I'm just talking top 10 here. Their recruiting class for 2021, even with them having arguably their greatest football season ever.
Yeah.
All right? It's ranked 51st by 24/7 Sports, 53rd nationally, 45th by Rivals. I mean, it's not.
It's not.
Yeah, so, but
it actually led to speculation that Matt may be on his way out during the season.
Multiple times, but he's staying there. Yeah, he's staying there. He likes it. But I will say this, going back to your point kind of about college basketball, I mean, those guys are in that system one more year.
No. Oh, and no, they're going to be better.
Not only that, they now truly believe it works. That his system, his blueprint works. They're doubling down on their commitment now and their belief in Matt Campbell. And they're all in.
Yeah.
And they believe like this could be the year that they make a national title run. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we know that Matt Campbell's a hell of a coach. And what he's done there, he's doing way more with less. So
no, I'm not going to disagree
and he's
with
got
that.
And he's got his best team he's ever had. So... I don't know. I'm BK. I think they're going to be really good.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
But I'm separating really good. I said they're going to be the second best team in the Big 12, and I think they're a top 10 team. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think they've been elevated to that level.
Yeah, that's a different discussion too. All right, Ohio State, they have fifth with getting 10.8 wins and 1.9 losses. That is the last of the double-digit win teams predicted by the FPI. If you round up A&M, and Georgia would also be double-digit predicted win teams because A&M is predicted to win 9.6 games. Georgia predicted to win 9.5.
Mm. When's the last time Iowa State has been ranked ahead of Ohio State in anything football-related? That's pretty bizarre to see.
Yeah.
It won't be in the actual polls.
No.
Right? You're right about that.
It's insane.
Yeah, the human intuition will kick in and be like, nah, that's not right.
And then for A&M.
This can't happen.
A&M's defense is going to be awesome again. They're going to be one of the best in the country. The big question for them is, who replaces Kellen Mond? I mean, that's still a deep, talented roster, but a lot of questions at quarterback, so... A&M's range of success, for me, could go anywhere from like 8 wins to 11 wins in the regular season next year. Probably leaning closer to that 8-9 number just because of uncertainty on offense. Not just the quarterback position, but they lost some skill position players too. But I understand. I mean, I expect them to start in the top 10 when the AP Top 25 poll comes out as well, coming off a great year.
I'm going to speed things up so we can get to the Longhorns, obviously. After that, we could talk about this all day.
Yeah, this one makes no sense.
Mississippi State at 8, Oklahoma State at 9, Penn State at 10, Notre Dame at 11, and then your Texas Longhorns at number 12 in the FPI rankings. Oklahoma State is high on there. I don't know why they're so high on there. I have no idea. Other than a lot of their defense is coming back. You look at their overall defensive production returning. It is 80% of their defensive production returns. That's 30th in the country. And we know now that Oklahoma State has recommitted themselves to defense. And Gundy talked about that, how they don't recruit positions.
Recommitted.
Okay, exactly. Well, they've committed themselves.
For the first time since the 1949 National Championship.
No, Rod, did you get re-engaged after dating for 9 years?
No, you just got engaged.
No, but, well, okay, good point. Well, he claims that they have now reinvested in defense, more scholarships, and a new mentality on defense. That's the only thing I can think of, but I don't know why that puts them in a top 10.
There's really three in a row there that I question. And you can even throw Notre Dame in there, but Mississippi State, Oklahoma State, and Penn State.
I don't know why Mississippi State's there either.
Yeah.
And I love the Mike Leach hire.
Like, I don't think Texas is a top 10 team.
I don't either.
But I sure as hell think they're better than those three teams.
Yeah.
I'd put Texas ahead of Mississippi State, Oklahoma State, and Penn State. I mean, Penn State's a wild card. Like, they had been so good under James Franklin. They were just absolute ass last year. They were horrible. So the question is that just a COVID thing, or are things starting to fall apart for James Franklin up there? But I mean, Texas is better than Mississippi State and Oklahoma State right now.
You know,
with all the questions on this team.
You know, it's below all of them that it's a racist thing. So we just always assume they're not going to be a top 10 type team because of the speed. But Wisconsin's usually floating right around there.
They're 15th.
And they're below all of them. They're 15th. Yeah.
They're 15th. Mm. Predicted to win 8.9 games. So still predicted to win more games than Texas, Florida, North Carolina,
right.
Penn State, Oklahoma State. But yeah, I don't know. Even the computers are racist towards Wisconsin, I guess.
If you go back to them in 15-10 wins, 16-11 wins, and 17-13 wins, then in 19-10 wins, and then 20, they had 10 wins.
That's a good point. One more thing I want to bring up as it relates to this.
19-10 wins. Sorry about that.
Something else that's considered is strength of schedule. That's also another big factor in this cumulative predictive stat. Strength of schedule, gentlemen, they got Texas as the fourth toughest strength of schedule. Bill Connolly tweeted that out. Arkansas's number one, Auburn's number two, Kansas number three, and then Texas number four. They actually have 9 of the 10 Big 12 teams are in the top 15 of their top toughest strength of schedule.
So the analytics love the Big
12. The Big 12. The analytics, the numbers love the Big 12
this
year.
How about that,
dude? It's going to be a really competitive, tough conference.
I think it will be.
I agree with that, actually.
I think there's two at the top we're all looking at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Texas actually has the fourth best odds to win the Big 12, according to FPI. So they're behind OU, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State.
Which is weird. Oklahoma State's weird.
I was going to say, where are you guys at on that right now?
No,
because I think
right.
We all feel OU and ISU are the top two teams, but is Texas number three?
I think there's a list that can go from 3 to 7.
West Virginia could be thrown in there.
Yeah.
But
there's definitely a separation. I think there's a separation between 1 and 2, as I said earlier, and then there's definitely a big separation from 2 on.
Yeah, they got Texas as the fourth team in the Big 12, and then they got, I mean, West Virginia's at number 24, I guess, in there. Well, okay. Then they got TCU. They like TCU's at number 19.
Yeah, they've got Texas Tech in the top 25, too. This is weird.
They got Texas Tech at number 21.
It's the computers. It's a formula. It's a metric, so it's not one guy's opinion.
And you want robots delivering you a pizza.
Absolutely.
These same robots got Tech in the top 25.
But if I would say this, if Max Duggan is the real deal, and he does have a Trevon Boykin-like transformation this year, you know Gary Patterson can coach defense no matter how many good players he loses. He's gonna have a decent defense.
Yeah.
That offense kicks up with Max Duggan. They could be scary. They got a good running game. They got some good running backs there, too.
Yeah, they got a five-star. First five-star they've gotten. And that showed me when Gary went to go get Marcell Brooks. And then also
the linebacker, Zach Evans. Zach Evans, yeah.
That I'm not sure how much longer. This is his last push. Mm-hmm. We're going to take some chances with risky kids. And they fit the bill.
Yeah.
But they're talented.
They're talented.
And Evans came on late.
Yeah, he did.
300-yard games, I believe.
Yeah, he was playing well.
Take your thoughts. 337-3776. ESPN's FPI preseason top 25 has been released. Alabama number one, Oklahoma number two, Clemson number three. Texas shows up at number 12 on this list. It's the triple option with RBKD. We are 4 days away from the inaugural match of Austin FC. We've got power rankings from the MLS, also some headlines and things to look out for from Austin FC this weekend. It's next.
Welcome back. It is a Bat Tuesday here on the Horn. This is Triple Option with RBKD. We got Rod Babers, we got Brad Kellner, I'm Kevin Dunn. All the way up until 6:15, Ivan the Great is going to see if he can keep the streak alive. D1 record for consecutive home runs in a game would be 8, and he is at 6, so we'll see if he gets any pitches as the Longhorns take on the Wolfpack of Nevada. That'll be a 6:30 first pitch. We're definitely excited about that, and also excited about Austin FC. Talked to Mike Craven yesterday, and guys, we are 4 days away from the opener. They've got a 7-game roadie to start it off.
Yeah.
What are we, the Spurs?
The rodeo's coming to town.
Yeah, rodeo's coming to town. Huh. But they're going to be taking on LA FC, who, as Mike talked about, they should be pretty good. This is going to be, BK, a test and a test early on for the newbie in the league.
No doubt about that. And I looked at some MLS power rankings this morning, and Austin FC is number 21 out of 27 teams. Look, nobody's quite sure what to expect from this club, inaugural team, first year, bunch of new players, new coach. No one knows exactly how to predict things for Austin FC, but the good news is they're not at the very, very bottom of these power rankings, and they're not at the very, very bottom in terms of Vegas odds to win the MLS Cup this year. I will say this, guys. One thing that I really enjoyed from the three preseason matches that Austin FC played last week, they scored. I know they lost both of their matches to the two MLS teams they played, to Dallas and to Houston, but they scored 5 goals combined in those games. And we talked to Mike about it yesterday, and I agree. Scoring is important for the casual fan.
Yeah.
And scoring is important for the person that wants to be a casual fan. I mean, the diehard soccer fans can find beauty and grace in a 0-0 draw. But people who are trying to get into this sport, trying to buy into this team, they're going to need some goals. And it appears that Austin FC is going to score some goals. Now, they might give up a lot of goals. That's the biggest question with this club. And I don't even know if they have a starting goalie yet. Like, there are two guys that started both matches last week for Austin FC, so I'm not sure if Josh Wolf has picked a starting goalkeeper just yet, but this team's going to score, Rod, which is good. I think that's going to excite people, and obviously, hopefully, they can hold their own early on before the home stretch of the schedule begins in June.
Yeah, I was reading Mike Craven, who we had on yesterday, who did a great job, some of his stuff about the matchup with the LAFC, and strangely enough, those power rankings, I saw LAFC is the second highest ranked team in their power rankings.
Yeah. So they're good.
They're predicted by a lot of the sports books out there to be playing in the championship this year. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a test early on. But one of the things that Mike remarked about was the inexperience, in addition to the defense that may be a struggle for this team. The inexperience could also either determine a lot of the lineup, a lot of what the starting lineup is going to be. Of the 11 starters that are projected to be in the starting lineup, 5 of them will be making their MLS debuts. That could end up being, you know, a team that's, it has a lot of growing pains early on, especially when you got 7 games on the road to start your season.
Yeah. Right, but you're just trying to build a fan base at this point. There already is, for considering they haven't played a game, it's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also, like BK said, I think that's a good point. And the same thing with Texas baseball. Look, they won a bunch of games and they can win in 3-2. You're going to get different eyeballs on there when Melendez is going yard and you're putting up 13 runs.
Chicks dig the long ball.
They just do. Mm-hmm. And so even if they do lose some 7-5 games here, I think that it could still be fun just because they're scoring 5 goals, mm-hmm. and it's up and down, and it will get the novices, like us, into it a little bit more.
Hey, the cousin can make money betting on overs.
And of course, there's that angle,
too. There ain't no harm in that. I think the good news, though, Rod, of those five guys, burgers and fries that you talked about, in terms of guys who don't have MLS experience, the majority of them have played professionally elsewhere.
Yeah.
So they're not completely new to pro soccer. Different step up, different league, being in Major League Soccer versus some of the leagues that they've been playing in. But I'm excited, man. I mean, the front line guys, it's likely to be a 4-3-3 formation, and the three forwards, Rodney Redes, one of those Paraguayan guys on this Austin FC team. It's his first MLS game, but he's been a goal scorer in the Paraguayan league the last couple of years. Cecilio Dominguez had a couple of goals on Saturday for Austin FC, and Danny Hosson.
He's Paraguayan too, right?
He is Paraguayan too, huh? Both of those guys. And then Danny Hosson, who has been in MLS for the last 4 or 5 years with San Jose. He's got a lot of goals on his ledger, too, over the years. So they've got dudes who can score. We talked about Tomas Pochettino a little bit yesterday. He's a set-piece monster. I'm excited, man. It's going to be a tall task this Saturday against LAFC, but it should be fun. Nationally televised game on Fox. I mean, there's a real chance to send shockwaves throughout Central Texas if Austin FC can pull off an upset this weekend.
Feels like it'll be more South American style than German style, which obviously both those can win. But if you follow any of that stuff globally, like I said, especially if you're not a huge soccer fan, it'll get you in if it's more up and down.
Yeah.
Not possession.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, the veterans they did bring in. You talked about Danny Hosson and how instrumental he's going to be. It's going to be guys like that that's going to have to set the tone. He's going to be the tip of the spear, if you will. And Alex Ring is another guy that they're waiting on him to transform into a multifaceted midfielder. At this point, he's known for being one of the best defensive midfielders. That's great. They need him to take the next step. That's what they're counting on, too, from a guy who's also considered a veteran that they're bringing on that roster.
Mm-hmm. The big rivals, it's got to be Dallas and Houston, right?
You would think.
Yeah, of course.
The two other Texas teams. Also Columbus.
Yeah.
We kind of tried to steal the Columbus crew. Not we. It was Anthony Precourt, the
guy
who bought the Columbus crew. Yeah, but Columbus is still there.
Yeah.
Like, they ended up suing him, and he couldn't move the team from Columbus. So that's why Austin FC is an expansion team. But I still think there is some disdain from Columbus fans for Precourt trying to steal their team.
I know there is, because in the food world, there was a vendor story with Austin FC, which I won't get into right now, and they jumped on that. And there were a lot of Columbus people saying, yeah, you get what you deserve.
They're good. They won the MLS Cup last year. They're a problem. So we'll see. They're in the East, though. Austin FC.
Won't be making that road trip.
Conference. Awesome. I'm excited. Saturday, Austin FC's inaugural match. They will take on LAFC. LAFC, the Vegas favorites to win the MLS Cup. Austin FC down that list a little bit. They are not last, though. They are not last in terms of Vegas odds to win at all. They are 21st on the MLS power rankings. We'll bring on some more guests and hopefully a player or two this week in advance of Austin FC's first match this weekend. We'll take your thoughts, 337-3776. It is the triple option with RBKD. When we come back, we go from football to football. Mel Kiper Jr. has a new mock draft out. Oh, we're just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, so Mel Kiper's newest mock, we'll talk about it. He is expecting the Dallas Cowboys to make a trade on draft night. We'll tell you what his projections are and also where he has the two Longhorns going. It's next.